Hi, my name is Tammy Hollingsworth, and I am here today to talk with you about something that I discovered not too long ago, and it's called an ABLE account. And this is amazing. It's something that anyone who is on supplemental security benefits, SSI, SSDI, or other government benefits really should know about. And unfortunately, very few people do know about it. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking, but then I want to give you hopefully plenty of time for questions. So Michael, if you could let me know when it's about 1:20, one little bit like 1:20, I'd appreciate it. Because I want to make sure to have time for questions. So what is an ABLE account? The word ABLE is an acronym, and it means achieving a better life experience. And that is what these accounts are set up to do for people with disabilities. In December 2014, there was an act called the Achieving Better Life Experience Act, and it was passed by Congress, bipartisan passing. And they say that this act is probably the biggest, most important act passed for people with disabilities since the ADA. But I never heard about it until 2020. So it's been around a while, but it's something that not a lot of people know about. What this does is it allows people who are qualified recipients, and these are people who have an onset of disability prior to age 26. So you have to be 26 or younger, prior to 26 in order to qualify for this. But if you have a significant disability, then this account is for you. It allows you to save money in a tax-exempt account, and it's a savings account, or you can even, in some cases, have a checking account, and it may be used for what is called qualified disability expenses. And we will talk about what those are in a moment. But it also allows you to keep your eligibility for federally funded, means-tested public benefits. So that includes things like food stamps, SSI, SSDI, all of that, any kind of public assistance. It allows you to keep that as well as save money. For people on SSI, this is life-changing because they can only have assets of $2,000 at any given time. But this allows that to change considerably. There is an organization called the National Disability Institute, which has started the ABLE National Resource Center. And the ABLE National Resource Center is a clearinghouse for information about the ABLE accounts. It's a great resource for you to go to online, very accessible, and you can literally go through step by step and learn all kinds of things about the ABLE account. There are webinars you can listen to, and they're all very informative, and they go into lots of detail. There's videos that you can watch, and they're also out there on YouTube. They're out there on Facebook and all of that. So they're all over the place, but they're very not very well known. And I think part of that is because there aren't that many staff members involved in the ABLE National Resource Center. So they use a lot of volunteers. When I contacted them to see if someone could come and speak to us, I really didn't get much response except for, well, you've experienced it, share it, because that's what they want you to do. So here I am. You guys are my experiment. It is estimated that 8 million disabled people are qualified to have an ABLE account. But believe it or not, in 2020, there were only 475,000 accounts, a little over 475,000 out of 8 million that could be done that were opened. So this is something that not very many people know of. But of those 470 million accounts, they've saved over $538 million in those accounts. So that says this is a very helpful tool for those of us in this situation of having disability benefits in various ways. Now, if you work, you still may be eligible for a an ABLE account as long as your onset of disability is before age 26. So don't go away if you work. This isn't just about people who don't work. The account can be opened at any age. So like if you're a parent and you have a child who is disabled, the account could be opened at birth if you wanted to, but they just have to have a clear onset of disability before age 26. Or if they don't receive public benefits such as SSI or SSDI, but they do have that disability age requirement of onset before 26 years of age, then you still might be eligible for the ABLE account. You would just need to provide proof of disability through your doctor, and you have to meet disability criteria that Social Security sets down. So just because you aren't receiving public benefits does not mean you are not eligible for this account, as long as your time of onset of your disability is before 26 years of age. ABLE funds, how can they be used? Well, they call how we spend ABLE funds QDE, or qualified disability expenses. Now, a lot of programs that are out there for people with disabilities prohibit you from using those programs, such as trusts, special needs trusts, et cetera, for housing or housing related expenses, food, et cetera. But the qualified disability expenses that can be spent using your ABLE account include housing and food, etc. So it allows you a way not only to save money, but potentially to make your life better as you know it right now. These qualified disability expenses are meant to supplement other programs, not replace them. So for example, let's say you have, in the case of someone I personally know, they have a lot of allergies. And even though they might get food stamps, they don't have enough in food stamps because it's just the one person to really afford to purchase the kinds of foods, because they have to buy organic foods and foods that are have no allergens in them. And believe me, it's amazing. She spends more money on groceries a month than I do, much more. And I'm feeding three people and she's feeding one. So, but if you have a ABLE account, you are able to put money in that account, and you could, if you wanted, use it to supplement that so that you can purchase what you actually need to be able to live in a healthy way. The IRS does police these accounts, so you want to keep track of your receipts, make sure you have receipts kept for everything. And the only thing that they do is they will do audits if they feel that there's a concern. However, Social Security, when they look at these benefits, or sorry, I keep calling it benefits, but it's not, it's an account, these funds, when Social Security Administration looks at the funds that you have or spend, they are told that pretty much everything that's spent out of an ABLE account is a qualified disability expense. So it's a very, very hugely broad definition. Basically, I've watched several webinars and they've said, you know, don't buy tobacco, don't buy alcohol, don't buy your friend a new car. But if there's anything that's going to improve your quality of life, or that's going to be a disability expense, it can be medical or anything like that, it could be something that you could make a goal to use your ABLE account for. If you should misuse your account, you can be penalized. And if that penalty comes in the form of interest from the federal government on your interest that you're earning, I'm sorry, it comes in the form of tax penalties or payments that you have to make on the interest that is earned in your account, or on the monies that you spend from your account. So you want to make sure that what you're spending it on really is something that's improving your life. And it's a good idea, if you do open an ABLE account, to keep really good track of what you spent, where you spent it, and why you spent it. The why is really important, because, you know, they want to know, is it for transportation? Is it for medical? Is it because you need a more healthy lifestyle? Is it because you want to have some entertainment in your life? Whatever it is, as long as it makes your life better, that's the whole point. Anyone can contribute to an ABLE account. So for example, if a parent opened an ABLE account for a child, grandparents could contribute, or the individual can contribute themselves. If a person is working, you can even keep more in your ABLE account, contribute more to your ABLE account than people who are not. Per year, annually, you can put in $15,000 maximum deposits into your ABLE account. That's quite a lot, really, when you think about it. That's much more than $1,000 a month. But if you're working, you can even put more than that in there. And this $15,000 deposit cap is across the board. No matter what state you go to, that's how much it is. The savings limit for ABLE accounts in Indiana, get ready for this, people, is $200,000. Now, that is for someone who is not on SSI. If you're on SSI, you can only save $100,000 in this account. That's all you can save maximum. If you go over the 100,000 plus your earnings limit, which is 2,000, and this is current amounts, because whenever the cost of living goes up or whatever, they may adjust it, or it's the gift tax, I guess it is, that if they adjust that, then this can raise the 15,000 that you can put in per year can be raised, and they could raise the limits in various states for the accounts. But if you are on SSI, you can save up to $100,000 in your ABLE plus your $2,000 in resources. If you should exceed that $102,000 in resources, then your SSI would be suspended, but your Medicaid would not be affected. Let me repeat that. If you saved over $102,000 in your account and kept that number, that high number, for whatever period of time it was, your SSI could be suspended, but Medicaid is not affected. Very important, because usually when SSI is suspended, Medicaid is affected, but this got a special rule that does not pertain to that. When determining people's eligibility for government assistance or government benefits, these account resources are not considered. So this is like having that account that you so much need. I mean, I know there are probably people out there who find it very difficult to stay under that $2,000 resource limit. And this allows you to do it and do it in a legal way. And the really cool thing about it is that as long as all of your expenditures from the account are qualified disability expenses, the earnings on your account are tax-free. The ABLE National Resource Center has an amazing website. I'll give the address at the end, but it is full of information. I found it extremely accessible as I was assisting this friend to set up her ABLE account. I did lots of research, so I really want to leave time for questions, because I know that I'm not going to cover everything that I know. I just know that. So on the ABLE National Resource Center website, there is a comparison tool that you can use across states. Right now, there are 40 different ABLE programs available in the United States, and you are eligible for a lot of them. Now, we do have one here in Indiana, and my friend and I chose for her the one that's here because it fits her needs. But different ones have different assets, different ways to save your money, et cetera. So they allow you to, on the website, they give you a great tool to search through all of that and figure out which program is best for you. But you can enroll right here in Indiana. Each state is different. They have different eligibility requirements as far as whether you have to be in state or out of state. But as long as you meet the ABLE requirements of being disability onset under the age of 26, then you're fine. You're good to go. And if you receive those government benefits, SSI or SSDI, I'm not even kidding, signing up for this account takes 10 minutes, 10 to 15. It's extremely easy. Every person who is a qualified account holder can have only one account. You cannot have any more than that. You can only have one, but you can move your account. Like, let's say Indiana has its plan, but you notice that Michigan's looks better and they allow you to join it. You can switch if you want to. You enroll through the program's website, and that's the only thing. If you are someone who is not able to use the internet very well, you may want to have a friend that you trust help you, because you will have to, and when you sign up, you do have to connect. There's information, sensitive information that you do have to give, like your social security number, bank account numbers, if you want to have money transfers done automatically and things like that. So you do want to, if you are not very internet literate. Right now, they don't have the resources to do it for you. You have to find someone you trust to help. Some states allow out-of-state account holders and some don't. So you'll want to investigate that. And the ABLE National Resource Center does have all of those tools on there for you. Now, let's talk about Indiana's account because we might as well, right? We're here. We live here. So I want to share with you the account that we have. It basically is really, really simple. When we signed up for it, we went on there's a website, which I'll give at the end here, that you go to and you sign up. It only takes about 15 or 20 minutes. It takes $25 to open an ABLE account, just like opening a little savings account. That's all it costs, all it is. When you open the account, you will be asked how you want to distribute your funds. So that any investment that is put or, well, deposit, I'll call it a deposit, because in Indiana, it really kind of is. Any deposit that is put into your account will be divided as you direct. So I'm going to use my friend's account as an example. She wanted a very conservative savings option. So she chose the conservative choice, and she wanted a checking account. So she chose the checking account choice, but she chose to put a larger percentage of her money into her checking and a smaller percentage into her savings. But you could do it the opposite. You could put most of your deposits that go in into your savings and some of it into checking. It depends on your savings and spending goals. And you have long-term goals and short-term goals that you might want to set up. So it just depends on you as a person and how you would use this money. So Indiana's account does have a more aggressive savings option, a moderate savings option, and a conservative savings option, as well as the checking account that has a debit card. So it's literally liquid. It's like having a second checking account. In fact, you just have to be careful that you're spending it for things that are appropriate to be spent. You can change investment options twice in 1 year. So like if you, let's say you have it in a really aggressive option and the market crashes and you're like, oh my goodness, let me get into a less aggressive thing. You can do that. So there is what they call Roadmap to Independence on the National ABLE Resource Center website. And this Roadmap to Independence is awesome. It has various steps to it, and it helps to teach you how to set financial goals. Because really, a lot of people who are dependent on public resources don't think about saving money because they can't. They're forced to spend it, and they usually do. They usually spend all their money. So they're not really used to being able to save it. And so so this tool on the ABLE National Resource Center website is very helpful in goal setting, short-term and long-term.
Tammy, do you want to take some questions? We're at 21 past.
Just 1 minute. I got a couple more things. Okay. If you do open an account, you want to make sure if you do open an account, you monitor it online here in Indiana. It is through Fifth Third Bank, but you can't access it as well through Fifth Third. It's an online access through the website, and it's not the greatest. I don't love it, but it is accessible. On the ABLE National Resource Center, there is a lot of webinars, videos, et cetera, that you can access to tell you lots more about it. And there's an achievable newsletter that you can sign up for that alerts you to any kind of new resources that are put up. So the web address to the ABLE National Resource Center is ABLE, it's ABLENRC.org. And then the Indiana one is investable.com. So it's investable.com. And that is where you go to actually open your bank account. So, and there's also a phone number that you can call. It's 1-888-609-3457. And that is for the state of Indiana. On the Indiana website, the Investable, the one that I told you, they have all the forms that you need for your account, how to sign up. A lot of them are online and accessible, fillable forms, but some of them are ones that you have to print. Like when you make a deposit into the account, if it's not through your, you can set your bank account up to do the investment if you want to. And for someone who is working, you can invest from your have part of your paycheck deposited. Okay, now I'm ready to take questions for anybody who has them, and hopefully I'll be able to answer them.
Okay, Carlos Taylor.
Good afternoon. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Yeah, I've heard of the ABLE accounts. It's really intriguing. My question is, are the deposits, is it essentially a savings account where you earn interest, like a traditional interest?
In Indiana, there are three levels, conservative, moderate, and aggressive. So you set it up sort of like you can choose different pots to put your money into. So you have three different levels of savings. And it does go into detail on the website about, you know, how much interest you can expect to earn and all that kind of stuff. But then it also has in Indiana, the checking option, which comes with a debit card. So you can actually have some of your money deposited into this checking account, and it does not affect your SSI or SSDI benefits at all. And as long as you are using it for qualified disability expenses, which pretty much is everything, and as long as it's, you can trace it back to helping your life improve, then you can use it. You just can't use it for like things like alcohols, tobacco, things that you just don't need and shouldn't be doing anyway.
And just to follow up, I know it's for people who are on SSI or people who are not. For those who are not on SSI, what would you say are the benefits? Because I know on SSI you have limits.
The benefit is that it's tax-free. There is one thing that I did not say that I need to say. If you sign up for the account and you should die, at this time, there's what's called a Medicaid payback. So if you should pass away and you have ever used Medicaid benefits in the past, after QDEs are paid, qualified disability expenses are paid, and that can include your burial expenses. Okay. So once QDEs are paid, the money that's left, the state of Indiana can, or whichever state, you know, you're in, Medicaid can say, I want the remaining funds from that account. So that is something to know. It's not like something that you can just give to your children, although they are working on there is a beneficiary clause. They're working on getting that where the Medicaid payback is taken out. So that probably will go away in the future.
Okay, Tyler Shirk has a question.
Good afternoon, Tammy. So right now, my situation, I owe back SSI because I went over my one of my work periods. And would I still qualify for an ABLE account? I'm not even sure where I stand. And
I'm sure that you probably would because you qualify in the term of disability. In order to qualify, you have to have onset before 26 and you have to qualify for benefits, which are it's part of it. You don't have to qualify for benefits except as a disability. Does that make sense? So you kind of have to qualify even if you're not getting them, but you do,
right.
you're just paying back money. So you should qualify. And from now on, instead of letting your assets go above, you can put it in the ABLE account.
Can you give me that information again, the website and phone number?
Yes. Let me take more questions, Tyler. I'll do that right at the end.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Diane has a question.
While we're waiting for Diane to unmute, it's investable.com is the Indiana website, investable.com. That's the Indiana one. And ABLE NRC, so it's ABLENRC.org. That's the really good resource to find out everything about ABLE. I really encourage you to watch all the webinars because they give you so much good information. And then there is a phone number. I'm just waiting for Diane to talk, so feel free to talk. It's for Indiana, it's 1-888-609-3457. Is Diane going to speak?
Well, we'll go ahead and we have Scopey Mosley.
Hello, everybody. I wanted some clarity. Are you saying that if I had like 100% of my paycheck direct deposited into this account, that it would not count? Like if I applied for food stamps, so none of that money would count?
Well, it does count as income. When you are working, your work monies do count as income, just as they would. But anything that you save in there does not count as an asset. I hope that makes sense.
Yes.
It does count as your income. Like you can't say, "Oh, I'm not making any money." That's not an option. But yeah.
Okay, we're bound at the bottom of the hour, so maybe to give that contact info again for folks to pursue it further might be the best.
Oh, can you hear me now? My microphone was muted. Yes. Okay.
We're at 1:30.
Is there another question?
Are you able to hear me?
There she is.
There I am. I'm sorry I couldn't get unmuted. So my question is, and I don't know if you'll know this or not, but I currently have a health savings account. And what I can do with that is I can, that money is deducted from my paycheck before taxes are taken out from the account. So when you say from my paycheck, I'm sorry. So when you say the account is tax free, is that the same setup? Can they take that before taxes are? No.
This money is not. It's the money that you earn as a wage earner still counts as income. It's after taxes. You can pull, but it doesn't get taxed again, though. So like when you put it in your ABLE account, as long as you use it on qualified disability expenses, which can include medical, by the way, it doesn't have to, but it can. And when it's put in that account and it's withdrawn, it does not have any tax penalty. Like, you know, if you have an IRA, for example, and you pull it out too early, you can get a penalty. Or when you pull it out, you have to pay taxes on it. So it doesn't change your income, but it is a way to save money when you, it's especially useful for people with SSI who have limited resource limits, but it can be another savings option for people who don't have those limits. But it's not as beneficial. Like, you know, if you have SSDI, it's less beneficial to you because you don't really have a resource limit. But if you do, it's extremely beneficial. But it still, you know, it helps to save money when they're looking at resources. And sometimes they do that for Medicaid. They might do it for food stamps. They do it for all kinds of different programs. And you might, you know, qualify for something other than the resource limit. And this changes that for you. It changes the ball game.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Due to time constraints, we are going to have to move on to our next topic.